Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 24th of March, recording at 7:36 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, following on from that Goldman Sachs report on the website, is it time to unwind the Asian reflation trade? I think their conclusion was probably not, and they're quite optimistic about it overall. Now, my feeling is that the Asian reflation trade is going to run for a number of years, as I've actually said. But of course, it's all in the timing here, and we do have a global correction underway at present. And while that hasn't affected all of the Asian trade by any means, for instance, we've seen the very good performance of markets such as Japan recently, and some of the smaller markets such as Malaysia have done really quite well, while we have seen bigger corrections in previous relative strength leaders such as Hong Kong. But there's a bigger story here for, and well, I'll just stick with that theme for a moment. My hunch, and it really can't be more than a hunch, because we've broken those uptrends. That was a concern. I said that we didn't have to worry too much previously. I'd said we didn't have to worry as long as the progressions of rising lows were maintained on the charts. But a lot of the trends, particularly those of North America, or all of those of North America, and I believe Europe, have now broken those progressions of rising lows. They've broken the uptrends. And therefore, we're in a corrective phase, and there's certainly no convincing evidence that this corrective phase is over, despite the short-term oversold conditions. But of course, if you get a major decline, you spend most of the time in short-term oversold conditions. But so my hunch is that this is not the big move on the downside that I do eventually expect, and Asia is unlikely to completely uncouple from that move when it eventually occurs. So, overall, I maintain that this is still quite a risky environment as far as equities are concerned, and we do need to be really quite careful and selective. Now, looking at the longer term, though, my feeling really is that the Asian reflation trade, asset reflation trade, in other words, and also the Asian growth story, is just going to run and run and run relative to the rest of the world. And not wishing to be glib, but I'll briefly summarize what I think you're already well aware of. As far as the U.S. economy is concerned, it's in a post-bubble environment. And a post-bubble economy is really like a hospital patient for quite some time. Has remissions, but then it needs transfusions and stimulants and steroids that I've referred to previously to keep it going, and it tends to disappoint over the longer term, just as we're seeing with a poor job creation despite vast amounts of money being thrown at the U.S. economy, and while we have the unusual factor of so much not only manufacturing but also services jobs moving offshore, there's no doubt that the growth, and certainly the growth in earnings for individuals in the workforce in the United States, is lagging behind what we've seen in other recoveries. So I think this post-bubble environment, and I've said before that it takes basically, it takes years. It can take up to a generation, although hopefully it won't take anywhere near that long to fully unwind that. Whereas if we take another developed economy in Asia, Japan, Japan is hopefully now pulling out of its overall deflation and really ought to be doing better vis-a-vis the United States over the longer term. And if not, then certainly China and a number of the little tiger economies subject to governance can see outstanding performances, as we've seen last year and are seeing again this year, and that's also been reflected by their stock markets for the most part. So we have that attractive Asian growth story on a relative basis and an absolute basis. We have all the question marks, post-bubble question marks, over the US economy going forward. And Europe, well, we have the same old problems that we've always had. It's a low growth zone, and there's no reason to expect that that's going to change quickly with generally high unemployment, at least in the bigger continental European economies. And with this overregulated market. So, my own investments, I have been overweight in Asia since I started going back into stock markets. Really last May. And I'm going to remain overweight, although I will obviously cut back from time to time, as I have quite substantially in recent months. But I think the way to play it, or that for a number of investors who are not interested or don't have the time or inclination to be involved in timing and just wish to buy and hold, I think you can do that in Asia, but you really obviously want to diversify the risks, and that's a separate theme, and have a balance of funds and individual shares across the region. That's not a bad idea. But I also know that a great many of you, particularly those who are quite interested in technical analysis, I would say the majority of you, really want to use some timing, effective timing, if you possibly can. And there we do need to watch the technical signals very closely, because when Wall Street, for instance, gets its next significant downward move, hopefully we're not in the process of that right now, although that is a risk given the break of the uptrends that I mentioned previously. But when Wall Street does get its next significant downward move, which I would define as a retest of the March 2003 lows and probably the October 2002 low and maybe more. I certainly wouldn't rule out more. When that does occur, that will be a very, very powerful headwind for most of the Asian markets, if only because you will get US investors pulling in their horns somewhat and repatriating capital or coming out of the domestic ADRs that are invested in Asian markets. And the same thing will happen in Europe, because Europe is just a slightly higher beta version of the US market. And so you'll get investors in the UK and Switzerland and elsewhere within Europe, pulling money out as well. So I think timing is going to be important, and we don't want to ride out all these downturns, not from a fully invested status, in other words. And then there's the additional option for those of us who want to be in Asia of using the so-called dollar or pound or whatever your base euro or whatever your base currency is, cost averaging. In other words, you're putting in fixed amounts of money each month. Well, how do we actually play this? And I can tell you exactly what I'm doing, and this may be an unsatisfactory answer, but I'm actually using all three. In the sense, in some of my pension funds, for instance, I would, where I'm quite restricted in terms of what I can do. These are self-administered, by the way. I'm talking about my small little self-administered pension funds, where I have in a couple of them, for instance, my contributory one. Here in with StockCube, I'm really quite limited in terms of what I can do with that, and I'm quite likely just to keep that going into Asia, unless I feel that the risks on the downside are absolutely enormous, and I don't feel that way at this stage. And if I did, then I would switch out into cash or bonds with those fund choices. So that's pretty much a buy and hold policy for the most part, but it's also for me a sterling cost averaging policy because a fixed amount goes in each month. But for the balance of my investment funds, I will attempt to manage that in line with the medium-term cycles that do occur in these markets. Thus, my position today is much lighter than it was a while back. But as you also know, I picked up a long position in Nikkei futures yesterday, and that had a very small gain today, up 83 points or 0.74%, because I felt that that was showing sufficient relative strength, particularly given the bounce off the intraday lows that we saw a couple of days ago, for me to chance my luck there. And I might be tempted to do that in one or two other indices if I see more evidence of improvement in here, but it certainly won't be aggressive. I will not have any aggressive long positions at all for stock markets for quite some time, I suspect. Now, moving on, what have we actually seen in the markets here today? And nervous conditions overall, mixed performance in Asia, although more of these indices were steady than not. Now, watching that Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, for instance, that had a similar gain to Japan, but this does not qualify as a dynamic, and I think to cause those who have shorted futures and to scramble to cover, and those who are waiting with money on the sidelines, and presumably there's some people in that position, to move into some of these markets. We haven't seen the sort of upward dynamics that would encourage anyone to do so. So the only reason for going in here today is because you, I'm talking about markets, the European markets, some of the US indices, and Europe, again, they're oversold, but you would be guessing that they've fallen enough to start buying. We haven't had an all-clear signal, in other words. European markets, again, as I say, mixed, but mostly on the downside. Actually, they were all slightly on the downside. No big declines, very, very small. The one exception on that was Milan up 15 points, but that's, put it in perspective, that's 0.06%. Wall Street, as I speak, is modestly higher, 6 points on the Dow, barely changed on the S&P, and up 14 on the NASDAQ. That's the better performance clearly today, although it has certainly been a laggard recently. Now, elsewhere in these markets, bonds relatively quiet, the U.S. market's unchanged. We had some small gains in the European government bonds against this background of nervousness in stock markets. And we did have one factor came out that helped sentiment a little bit, but not as much as one might have expected. I think Trichet had said earlier today, I said this morning, that the gist of it is that he was looking at interest rates, and if the European growth didn't pick up, there might be a need to actually lower rates within the Eurozone. Now, a lot of people have been calling for that, saying that that Europe needs more of a monetary stimulus. I think Trichet is also concerned to head off a rally in the Euro, and certainly that's where we have seen the big impact is in the currency markets, because the Euro is quite weak in here today, and that has pushed euro dollar, for instance, we're at the low of the days here as I speak, down over 2 cents at 121.26. So that's quite a big hit on the downside here today. And unfortunately for me, and some of you who may have followed this trade, that euro yen, which was pretty much predicated on a short-term oversold position when I bought that, and did I do it earlier in the week or on Friday, but quite recently, and I picked that up around 131.20 on the spot rate. But that's actually down 3 yen in here today. It's hit quite hard, so been hit quite hard. So it's extended that decline into support. It's at 128.70. I'm going to hold on for the time being. The one I'm watching closely in relation to that is the dollar yen rate, which hasn't fallen as much as I would like, given the background elsewhere, but we're at 106.13 currently in the dollar yen right now. And my justification for opening that long position in euro yen was, or my rationalization was that A, it was oversold, it was back at a previous support level, and the Japanese were starting to speak again quite aggressively about coming in and intervening. Well, certainly for me to get out of this trade, not only without a loss but with a profit, requires them to do just exactly that. In other positions, and I'm not fortunately I'm not risking the ranch, as it were, on that currency trade, and nor would I in anything. This is a very tricky period in the markets right now. Now, we can expect that euro position to probably spill over into the metal markets a little bit more tomorrow, but it didn't do all that much today. Although palladium is closed at 288.30, so that was down $2.25. Gold down 2.5 at 417.25. They've really been held up quite well here overall, but it's profit erosion for any of us who've been long. Incidentally, you remember that gold bullion securities, the UK position, where they got into a little bit of difficulty, and they're going to relaunch again in the beginning of April, and I have a sell order over in the market, and I noticed that my position was reduced today despite the falling softer market for gold bullion, and that's still trading with gold bullion securities has been trading with quite a premium over the bullion price, and the only reason that that can be taking place in my mind is that somebody's got a short position in there. It may not be HSBC, but somebody has that short, and they are being squeezed at this stage. That's my surmise, at any rate. Now, whether I actually go back into the new gold bullion securities on coming out of the current trade in the next few days, or whether but I have lots of gold representation, so I might choose to put it in one of those energy funds that I've been mentioning to you in a number of broadcasts, and I'll probably do that with that Investec Global Strategy Fund. That's that Guernsey based energy fund run by Howard Flight. I may well do that, but I will of course attempt to negotiate down that front-end load, because I'm not about to pay a 5% front-end load. Okay, now moving on in these markets, we had platinum stronger in here today. That's the one precious metal that bucked the trend. Even silver came down a bit, but only 5 points at 765. But platinum's not far off its highs at 919. Now I'm just going to put up my base metals page, and to my chagrin, that tin we had huge gains in here today, up, so it hesitated for 3 or 4 days near the 8,000 psychological 8,000 level, and just blasted through on the upside today. 8,355, up 455. And other metals, nickel was really quite steady. They were all up. US copper closed down very, very slightly, although I noticed that the LME copper, which closes earlier, had a modest gain. Now, the metals story, again, this is back in my supply inelasticity theme, which I think is certainly going to run for quite a while, because I don't see more than a modest slowdown in China occurring this year, if at all. So I think this story will continue to run, and I think that investment managers will continue to position themselves in those markets. But something like the TIN, which has been accelerating, is certainly overextended, has become more overextended today, and is a weaker euro against the US dollar. Might that be the catalyst to cause some of those people to squeeze towards the exit? In which case, we would get quite a sharp, sudden reaction in these metals. These are relatively thin markets. So I'm going to watch this from the sidelines, other than with my palladium position, which I've retained. Now, other markets, the soybeans have seen quite a pullback in here today because they settled that dock issue in Brazil. Remember, the one of the major ports for exporting soybeans, the workers there had been on strike, and that has been settled, and predictably that produced quite a big reaction in the market today. And they came down to, for May soybeans, which I hold, we saw a low of 10.15, and they closed at 10.23 and a half, down 28 and a half. Now, I mentioned yesterday that that was the risk. We were about to l very likely to see this settled, and that would cause a reaction. I chose to hold on here using my in-the-money trailing stop position, but the risk now is that we get a bit of knock-on selling and profit-taking in here, which does trigger that stop. My feeling, though, is that this is a fundamentally bullish story, and that would be less than ideal money management control, and letting some profits slip away if that's what happens, but that it basically remains a bullish theme. If you're on the sidelines and watching and waiting, well, then I would wait and see what further knock-on selling pressure we actually see in the soybeans market. Corn came down in sympathy, which is hardly surprising. That has done awfully well recently, and that was down 6.25 cents in here today at 309. And last but not least, I think with the dollar softer, we had some weakening in the oil market as well. That's spot price is at 30, well, it's still trading 37.18. And just before I sign off, the Dow is down 9 points now, and 161 on the S&P, and 12 still up 12 points on the NASDAQ. Have a very good evening.